with everybody. It's been a while. And when I started on this road, I was 12 years old. And as Brother Tolliver, the pastor, mentioned a while ago, sometimes it's up, rocky, you know, going. But I've never lost the desire to live for the Lord. He placed a desire in my heart that I want to make it all the way. There's one thing that I've asked him to do for a reward is I want all my family around the throne of God. That is my prayer. And if I can just see them in heaven, I'll be so glad. And I made a choice, like I said, several years ago. I'd rather have Jesus, and I still want him. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses and land. Oh, I'd rather be led by His good hand than to be the king of the vast domain and be held.
The devil's open for business 24 hours a day. Anytime you want to cash in, you can. But he's never offered me anything that even compare with one blessing that the Lord gives. Praise the Lord. I give God praise for what little bit the Lord's helped me do upon this earth for him. We'll soon be going home to face our record. My mother used to sing a song, "Nobody's Record But Mine." And that's the one you're going to face. You'll not have to worry about Don Rich, whether he made it or not, or somebody else. You have your own record. They're waiting for you. And did you know that so many people live so carelessly? Old Brother Dillard used to sing that old song, you know, "How careful ought I to be? What religious fear to such a strict account to I must give for my behavior here." And we're going to face our records, but I'm going to tell you, if every sin is under the blood, you don't have nothing to worry about. We can have confidence in our Lord. And Paul, he realized that, and he said, "I know that the Lord's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Isn't that a wonderful promise? Praise the Lord. I want you to help me while I preach. I'm glad we have the Word of God, don't you? Men are trying to do away with so many things, and they're not going to do away with the Word of God. They're going to try, and our leaders are trying, but a child standing on his tiptoes trying to blow out the sun would have more success than man doing away with the Word of God. For the Bible tells us that the Word is forever settled in heaven. So I'm glad that we still have this book to preach out of, and I'm glad that my son and his family's following the Lord here with us tonight. He's helped me a lot on the mission field. God has helped me to raise up 23 churches there, preach them out of the wilderness. Just go in rough areas, fight the mosquitoes and roaches and them no seams. Boy, them's harder when you don't see what got you. You just know something got you. And but we went in there and preached out. Brother Dan's been to some of those churches, and they're there. You all heard about one preacher taking up money to build churches and never did build no churches. Now, that's not right. But we've got the churches to show that the Lord has helped us, and we don't take the glory. We give him all the glory. But the Lord's helped us to win so many souls. And I want to tell you something. My top priority is still souls. I've had great joys, a lot of things that brought great thrills to my heart. But I don't think anything brings as much joy as to see a sinner come down the aisle under deep conviction, coming to give their heart to the Lord. And some time ago, I was in a service, and I preached. And made the altar call. There wasn't too much response. Called the people in to pray. And I noticed an older man sitting back toward the back. He'd been there a few services. And he threw up his hand like this and motioned like that to me. And I believe that he's wanting to talk to me, but I just stayed up there. Boy, he motioned again. I went back, and I'll never forget the joy. He said, "Brother Rich, I'm in my 80s. I have never been saved. I've got bad eyesight. Would you take me by the hand? Lead me down to the altar and let me give my heart to the Lord." Now, there's a lot of things that folks count great blessings, but I'll tell you, don't get no better than that for me. And so tonight, if you're here without the Lord, the greatest thing that could happen in this meeting, say, boy, it'd be wonderful if everybody go to shouting. And I do believe in shouting and praising God. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest thing that can happen is for a soul to find Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, would like to turn with us tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 4 and also 1 Samuel chapter 5. I hope that we can reach you with the gospel. If you need the Lord tonight, he's warning you to be saved. If you need another experience, if You're wanting to be sanctified over. I didn't know exactly what that was. So that man right there came to Kansas City one time. I don't know if he remembers or not, but I said, I want to know what it means to be really be sanctified. He took a while to do it. You know, fold that old Bible over. I don't know how the Bible holds up, the way it folds around. But he explained to me what it means to be sanctified. And really, they used to you read in the Old Testament, they sanctified the vessels that was used in the house of the Lord. That meant that those vessels could not be used for any other service but in the house of the Lord. And when we are sanctified, hey, we can't go back out in the world. Praise the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 10, I will read, and then I'll go to chapter 5. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 10. How many has it? How many wish you had it? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 10. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell on Israel 30,000 men, footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Chapter 5, verse 1. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they rose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon unto Ashdod unto this day. Whenever you read, and I'm going to let you be seated here in just a moment, but when you read about the ark of God, it signifies God's presence. Inside that ark was the golden pot of manna. There was Aaron's rod that budded and tables of the covenant inside the ark. But when you read about the ark of God, it means that God's presence is there. And when the priests were carrying the ark of the Lord, as they come down to the river of Jordan, as soon as their feet touch the waters roll back. So I'm going to preach tonight on this subject that I've read to you. May be seated, and I'll give you my title of my subject just a little bit later. Let you worry about that a little while. But as I've already said, the ark of God signifies God's presence. And Israel was fighting with the Philistines. And it was a sad day in Israel. For you see, several thousand, 30,000 footmen fell. Now wait a minute. Israel said, let's go get the ark. And they brought the ark in, but it did not help them because they had the ark of God, but they had lost the God of the ark. They had the symbol, but no substance. Like many of our churches today that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Many places you can go and hear beautiful singing. You can even hear good messages. But, oh, listen, there's something that goes with the Word of God and with our worship, and that is the presence of the Lord. So, the people, when they brought the ark of God into the camp again, they shouted out until the earth rang. But it takes more than just noise. I've been in churches where they thought all you had to do is just shout all the time. They said, one fellow said, This happened down in eastern Oklahoma in a certain campground. He said, some guy told him, said, there's more to do than just shouting. He said, well, let's get that over with and get back to shouting. You heard that? Listen to me. I believe in shouting and worshiping God, for God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So they shouted until the earth rang out. They made a great noise, but the Philistines came and they captured the ark. The enemy took the ark of God away. Now the question is, what will they do with the ark? No doubt they thought this over and over. And finally they decided to take the ark of God to the temple of their god, to Dagon, that heathen idol. And they put it in the temple of Dagon that was full of idolatry and abominations. And they put God's ark, the ark of God, right in there with Dagon. That's what I'm getting ready to preach. Two gods in one house. It won't work. Oh, they had God's presence. They had the ark there, but they had Dagon there. Oh, if they'd wanted to have the power of God present, they should have took Dagon out of there and cleaned all the abominations out, and then they could have had the presence and the fullness of God. But listen, that temple was full of abominations. And so they did not realize that our God is a jealous God. And he said so in Exodus 20 and 3. And he also said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what, know ye not that your body right here is a temple of the Holy Ghost? So they put their God, put the ark of God in the same house with their God. Two gods in the same house. It won't work. Oh, no. When they got up the next day after leaving their god, the ark, in the house with Dagon, the idol god, which was inanimated a being, yet Dagon had fallen over on his face in front of the ark of God. So you know what they did? The same thing that a lot of people do when they come to the altar and they touch God. And the things in their life go down. They go, oh boy, God's touched me. I'm doing good. But they go right back out and set that idol, that Dagon, whatever it is in their life, right back in its place again. But once it goes down, you better leave it down. Oh yeah. Paul said, if I build again the things which I once destroyed, I'll make myself a transgressor. So they set that God back up, and they stood him up again. Then they left him overnight, and when they came back in the next morning, Dagon, their idol, had fallen over to the ground. His head and both palms of his hands was over there by the threshold, cut off, and all that was left was a stump over there by the threshold. I think the booger was trying to get out of there and get away from the presence of the Lord. I may be wrong, but I believe that's what it was. I believe he was trying to get out of there and get away from the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hear me tonight. We must understand that when we come to this altar and the Lord does a work in our lives and we know that God has touched us and done something for us, we cannot go back outside and be the same person, sing the same kind of music, wear the same kind of clothes, enter into the same kind of conversation. There has to be a difference in our lives. Hear me. We need to get a spirit of God in us that will move the devil out of our lives. Oh, and that will help us to conquer all the temptations. Don't set old Dagon back up in your life again. Now, they set him back up, and those Philistines, they were smarter than a lot of people in our churches today. They knew they had to get rid of one of those gods. You can't stay in that same house. Oh, no. And I was preaching over in San Blas Islands. Have you been there to San Blas Islands? Preaching over in San Blas Islands. And Dan's been over there, Brother Dan. And I was preaching over there. And here come a little old God guy carrying his little God around. And I was preaching out there right underneath the stars, just preaching the gospel. Now, the gospel will work anywhere. Preach the gospel and it'll work. One of our best preachers, Leon, and I was preaching the gospel side beside the road. And this man come walking down the road with his wife and his oldest son. And I was preaching on Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And he come over and said, crying, said, I don't have no peace. Could you tell me how I can get this peace? Let me tell you something. You don't have to have a fancy church. This is beautiful. I'm glad we've got it. But you don't have to have that. What you have to have is a message, an anointing that will touch the lost and the dying. So this message that I'm preaching to you tonight tells you that we preach holiness for one reason, and that it's taught in the Word of God. And if you'll get full of the Holy Ghost and live a holiness life, oh, yes, and stay off the devil's territory, you're just sure to go to heaven as there is a heaven. Oh, yes. So the Philistines said, we've got to get rid of one of these gods. So they got rid of the wrong one. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the greatest fallacy of all times is upon us, a teaching that tells us that we must learn to peaceful coexist with evil. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You cannot have two gods in that same house. You got to throw one of them out. Hallelujah. I went in to visit a pastor some time ago, and he was sitting there, had his Bible, and they studied, I guess, out of a Sunday school quarterly, a lesson book, had that out, and he had his television on, and he was trying to look at this lesson and look at the television. And I started visiting with him. All of a sudden, he raised up and said, man, did you see that play? I said, no, I didn't. He said, boy, that's quite a play that man made there on the football team. And then went back to looking at his lesson, two gods in one house. Say, Brother Rich, I don't know. I guess folks still preaching against television. There's so many other things that are so evil now. The internet and websites and stuff got so many things to preach against, but television is still wrong. Oh, yes. And I wrote, had a write-up one time in the paper and the whole semester years ago, what I'd do with television if I had one. Can anybody remember when I made that? Yeah, some remember it. I said I'd load that thing up in my truck, take a shotgun and a chopping axe. I'd take it down to the river. I'd shoot it up, then I'd chop it up in little tiny pieces and throw it up and down the banks of the river and get down on my hands and knees and apologize to the snakes and the rats and the skunks and the other varmints for contaminating their home with such a terrible mess as a television. I'm going to leave that alone here now, but I'm preaching about two gods in one house. The Bible still says, come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and then I will receive you. Oh, the Bible states in 1 Corinthians 10:21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the devil's table. So this Kuna Indian was carrying his little god along out there on San Blas Islands, on one of those islands, and those that's been out there know that the sea's just always right around all of those islands. And as he went by, he's carrying a little old god along. I said, hey, you out there with your little old god, is your god so weak that you've got to carry him? How weak is your god? You mean you've got to carry your god? I want a God that's strong enough to carry me. And, of course, I had his attention then. Son, hand me one of them Kleenex boxes. I had his attention then. And so I said, your God has eyes that carved it in the wood, has eyes but he cannot see. And your God has a mouth but he cannot speak. Your God has little legs and hands on him, but he can't use them. Your God is pretty helpless. And I think this is the one that got him. I said, you drop your God down in the dirt, and you got to pick your God up and clean him up. But one day my Lord came by, and I was down in sin. And my life was so spotted and I was so dirty. And the Lord reached down with that nail-scarred hand, lifted me up out of sin, cleaned me up. Hallelujah. He kept looking at his little God. Then look over there. Then look. I kept preaching. I said, your God, he don't see nothing, but my God's up there in heaven. He's looking down here on us. And I kept talking to him about my God. All of a sudden, Brother Tenzi, he walked over close to that sea. He threw his God right in that water, come and fell at my feet and said, I want your God. Well, let me tell you, maybe you need to change gods. If your God can't do nothing, maybe you need to change gods. God brought us out. Oh, yes. When that nurse and doctor told me, said, you're not going to be able to use your right leg, and you're not going to be able to ever speak clearly again. I said, wait a minute. And in my broken speech at that time, I said, I make my living talking. And I said, I've got to talk. And I just appealed my case. 3 days later, I was behind the pulpit preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that little woman that kept coming to the judge? That judge didn't fear God. Or man. He wasn't afraid of nobody. That little woman just kept a coming. Said, avenge me of my adversary. Got to get some relief from this pressure. Some of you need some relief tonight. I'm going to tell you how you can get it. She kept saying, I got to, please avenge me of my adversary. The old judge says, I don't fear God. I don't fear man. But because this woman, of her continual coming, she's going to weary me. And he offends her of her adversary. Hey, you understand what that's telling us. You pray for some need. You didn't get an answer. Don't get discouraged. Go on back again and again and again. After a while, you're going to get an answer. There's going to be something, an answer is going to knock on your door. Say, well, Brother Rich, I'm so sad. All I can do is just cry and complain and weep all the time. I'm so sad. Well, weeping can only endure for the night. And if you're weeping, then you got a visitor coming to meet you. And before long, joy is going to knock on your door. If you'll keep your faith in God, oh, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hear me. There's no such thing as peaceful coexistence with the evil. And then there are those that says, knock a hole. Why don't we knock a hole out in the old ship of Zion? And that right away, we can get people into the church without bringing them all the way up and bringing them in the door. Some have tried it, Terry. But here's what happens when you knock a hole in the old ship of Zion. Those floodwaters that's taking people down is going to come rushing in on you. Let's leave the ship like it is and say, if you want in on this ship, you've got to come in at the door. Praise the Lord. I'm going to preach this a little while longer. Hallelujah. Maybe have some good preaching next. Are you preaching tomorrow night? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and give them the meat and you can pass out the dessert tomorrow night. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the Bible still says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know, Paul was going through the land, casting out evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, there's still power in that name. Sister Rich was in a church, and I were in a church not too long ago. And a woman come down kind of acting like she's speaking in tongues. But I told Sister Rich, I said, something not right here. It's not right. You know, there's a truthful sound. And if there's a false, there has to be a true. And if there's a true, there's a false. And I told her, I said, something's not right. And the pastor was pretty young and he was a little afraid to touch any of that kind of stuff. So he backed off. And I'm not saying I criticize him. But people backed away from her. She started taking her clothes off. I said, I know that's not right. Oh, no. I know that's not right. I said, the only way this woman's going to get deliverance is for you and I to deliver in the name of Jesus. Sister Rich and I stood by that woman, clasped our hands together. She was speaking all kinds of things that didn't make a bit of sense. And we, in the name of Jesus Christ, cursed that spirit that had a hold of her. And we had it to go out and you could feel it leaving out. And she come back the next day and brought her husband and he gave his heart to the Lord. And the next night she had two of her sisters with him and they gave their hearts to the Lord. Hey, we cannot let the devil have the upper hand of us. We've got the power to reduce and redeem. We've got to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Hey, 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 you let the devil run over you just a little bit, you come in bigger next time. Oh, yeah. Well, these seven sons of Stephen, I got this from Leon here. He every once in a while gives me something pretty good. And then sometimes. But you can't talk to Leon very long without him giving you something good from the Bible. I guess you notice that. He knows his word. But in Acts 19 and 14, these seven sons of Siva, they were exorcists. And they were casting out devils. But they'd heard Paul. They'd heard Paul. And they got that recipe. Find out how he's doing it. He's doing it in the name of Jesus. And they're seven sons of Siva. And here's what I got from Leon. He said, seven sons with empty guns. Well, I got it. Amen. Seven sons with empty guns. Those seven sons decided they'd find them a devil-possessed man. Call over him the name that Paul and Jesus. They adjure thee by this Jesus whom Paul preached to come out. And that spirit answered them and said, Jesus we know. Paul, we know, but who are you? And that spirit rose up and started ripping their clothes off of them. Oh, but listen, you can have an experience. I've come to tell you, you can be saved. You can quit your sinning. You can quit your lying and stealing. You can quit, you can quit anything that's not pleasing in the sight of God. Now, God doesn't reform. He regenerates. He doesn't add to this old creation. He recreates. Oh, and that's what makes the difference. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And brother, where I just came from, I won't call the name of the church, is up in Kentucky, but some guy, he supposed to be getting delivered from cigarettes, but he'd go right back out and stand old Dagon back up again. Uh-huh. And he said, well, Brother Rich, I don't think you can preach against cigarettes. It's not wrong to smoke. Well, I don't know about that, but I believe that I can prove to you that it's wrong. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 7, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He said, well, that's not good enough for me. Well, one other scripture over in Proverbs chapter 17 says, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. Yeah? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Study your Bible. You'll see. You can get rid of these sins if you want to. But we are living in a very, very dark hour. With the leadership we have, it's a wonder God don't bring judgment upon us, this nation right now. The only thing that's holding the judgment of God back is people like we've got right here tonight, Tolliver. We're still the salt of the earth. Salt is a preserver. But I got news for you. If you don't want to get ready to meet the Lord, we're getting out of here. And then you're going to be left here without anything to preserve you. So you better get ready to go out of here with us. Say, well, Brother Rich, there's so much confusion on when the Lord's coming. I can't decide which way to go. Some preaching pre-trib, some preaching mid-trib, some preaching post-trib. They got another one in there now they put in there. What's that other one they put in there? Pre-wrath. They're putting that all in there. Say, where do you stand on all of that? Well, I'm going to tell you where I stand. 57 years ago, I read where it said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. So I went on down the station, got my ticket, and whenever he comes, whoever he's right, I've got my ticket. I'm going out of here. Praise the Lord. Hey, Brother Jeremy, I bought me a new Toyota pickup. One of them nice ones, Tundra with four-door. When that trumpet sounds, go on down there and tell him I said you could have it. Hallelujah. He's my good friend, Brother Jeremy is. Praise the Lord. Listen to me. My grandson, I've got a grandson that's a preacher. And he's a good man. His church is worldly. He's kind of on a charismatic side. And he called me and said, Grandpa, I had 500 in church, wasn't it? 500? 500 in church Sunday. I said, really? Josh, you had 500? You sure did. And I said, well, Joshua, don't you know the lower the fence, the more cattle can get in the field? You build that fence up where it belongs, boy, and you won't have quite so many coming. That's my own grandson. I can talk to him like that. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad that some are making an effort to serve the Lord. And didn't Paul say, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I rejoice. Oh, yes. I saw a man up on the at the White House up in Washington, D.C., up on the steps. I didn't approve so much of his appearance. But, boy, he was preaching, and I was backing him. Because he said, right in there. In this place right here, right over there, said they make laws to abort little babies. And he began to lay it out there so plain, I don't think any of our holiness preachers would have made it any plainer than that was nothing more or less than murder. Oh, yes. And so, there's some that may not believe in holiness like we do. And I'm not trying to make some other religion. But I believe in holiness, and I believe in righteousness. But some haven't been taught. And I remember we was praying with a guy not long ago, had him in the altar, and some old boys got in behind him praying, Brother Tolliver. They said, plow on in there, boy, plow on in there. He stopped praying, plow where? What did you say to plow? Some never have been in this kind of church. They don't know what we're talking about. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, there is a real experience that you can get, and then you'll plow in hope. Oh, hope of winning somebody else to the Lord Jesus. Just a little bit longer and I'm going to be finished. But tomorrow night I'm looking forward to hearing Leon. But you know, the devil's not trying to deny the truth that Christianity is real. He's trying to debase it and the standard of it down to the hog pen level. Oh, he wants to lower it down where just anybody and everybody can be saved. And it's enough to make a turkey buzzard hold his nose. I mean, some of the things it's taking in as Christians. But, oh, I still believe that you must be born again. Oh, hallelujah. You must be born again. Is there anyone here tonight that you're willing to wait on God until you can mount up on wings as eagles? There's a higher place for every one of us. Brother Tolliver and I have been preaching a long time. But I think he'll say there's still a higher dimension. There's a higher dimension for me. Hallelujah. There's a higher dimension for you. Oh, they call me sometimes. They'll call me a fanatic and a legalist because I tell them they're turning the sheepfold into a zoo. Oh, they shouldn't be anything in the sheepfold but sheep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But listen, we can have the real religion and the real salvation here in this hour. In Kansas City, when I was pastoring there, that's been some time ago, I got a call one day, and a woman asked me, said, Brother Rich, I listen to you every day on the radio. Can you cast out devils? Well, what would you guys say? Said, can you cast out devils? And all I could think to tell her was, no, I can't, but I know somebody else that can. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jesus has power? Oh, God gave it to him, all power. He said, is given unto me both in heaven and in earth. And the devil may huff and puff and act like he's going to blow your house down, but he can't blow hard enough if you're founded upon the solid rock. Hallelujah. And she said, can you cast out devils? And I said, no, I can't, but I know someone that can. And she said, well, you've got to come and help me. So I've got a grown son here, and I'm a widow woman. And said, he's possessed of the devil. And said, I'll get the food ready to eat on the table. And sometimes he just, spirit comes on in this evil spirit, and he just turns the table over. And said, sometimes I'll be down praying. He'll come by and snatch hair out of my head. And said, we just can't go on two of us living in this same house. See, two gods can't stay in the same house. And she said, I've got to have help. And I said, well, I'm not going to come right now. I said, I'll take your name and phone number. And I'll pray. And I'll have my church to pray. And my wife will be praying. And if I feel like I can help you, I'll call you. I took her name and phone number. You know, some folks run right over there, and then they've been defeated by the devil. That brings a reproach on the Lord when we're defeated. So I didn't go, and we started fasting and praying and asked the church to fast, and some of them did. You know, some people in the church, they don't care whether you get victory for people or not, but some of them did. Some of them prayed, and one day I was praying in the prayer room there, and the Lord spoke to my heart through the Spirit. I said, call that lady and tell her you're coming. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to give you the victory over that devil. So I called her. I said, I'm going to come and visit you. And she said, well, please bring that one you said could cast out devils with you. And I said, I'm not about to come over there without him. And so I called her. Did you go with me, Sister Rich? I went over there, and here's a little woman, thin little woman, out walking in the driveway like this, and I drove up. And when I got out of my car, she said, praise the Lord, you're Brother Rich, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. She said, well, I wanted to tell you, you better not go in there. I said, no telling what he'll say to you. He curses, and he might even strike you. I said, well, the Lord told me to come, and I'm here. I said, I'm going in. She said, are you sure you want to go in? I said, I'm not afraid to go in. I stepped in. At first, I didn't see nobody. And then a big guy, I mean bigger than me, come lumbering out of a back bedroom. And I started to say something to him, and the Lord told me, said, don't set up no communication with him. Now, the Lord did speak to people that were possessed with devils, but I wasn't the Lord. So I didn't set up no communication. I just waited. He come right at me. When he got within arm's reach, I reached out and cursed that spirit in the name of Jesus. There's still a name that's above every name. There's still a name that's got power. I cursed that spirit in the name of Jesus. And he went over, the Lord's my witness, he wouldn't have went over no harder if I'd have hit him with a hammer between the eyes. He went over, his head bounced on that wood floor, and his mother, she started walking around and around him saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And the more she did that, the more spirit we had in that room. And after a while, I said, man, she's getting all the blessing here. I'm going to get in and get me some too. And I got right there behind her, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. In a little while, a third voice joined us. An old boy laying on the floor was saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What I'm here to tell you tonight, two gods can't stay in that same house. But there is a spirit and a power that has power over anything the devil has brought into your home. And if you've let things come into your home that shouldn't be there, don't you allow it. When you have a God that's sitting on the throne and one that sent his son to this world with all power, he will release you. He will set you free. He'll set your home free. You don't have to stay in that kind of condition. I don't know why I'm preaching like this, but some of you have let the devil bind you up in your home. You can't have prayer there and have any liberty to pray. Oh, it's not enough just to bow your head and say, Lord, would you bless this food? No, no. You got to pray until you touch God. But when you pray and touch the Lord, God will vindicate his power. And it's been so wonderful serving the Lord. I don't know what I would have did all of these years. Young people, I'm your guarantee tonight. I'm your guarantee that God can keep you. I'm your guarantee that he answers prayer. Stand up, Sister Rich. You've seen her up here. Stand up a minute. Beautiful lady here, 77 years old. Remember whenever she had that cancer, people were praying all over for her. Everybody was praying for her. And went in there one day. They examined her. The nurse came out. And did Dr. Clapp come out also? A woman doctor came out and said, Brother Rich, or Mr. Rich, I'm supposed to read you this report. But I'm not going to read it to you and just kind of slammed it down. I'm going to tell you what you've been wanting to hear. There's no cancer cells in her body. 12 years now. 12 years. Not long ago, she had it checked out again. Still no cancer cells in her body. Don't you believe it pays to serve the God like that? I don't want to serve some little idol God like them Indians have over there. I don't want to serve a God like old Dagon. Oh, hallelujah. I want to serve a God that's real and genuine, that does answer prayer. How many's ever had a prayer answered? Now, sometimes we get sick and we tough it out. Yeah, get cold, flu, and just tough it out. But sometimes we got to have God. And whenever you have God to do something for you, like this man right there, Dan Roberts. I thought I'd be down there saying something over him, along with many other good brethren. But no, God said, I'm not through with you. Got to send you to Guatemala. Going to send you back to Panama. I'm going to use you over there a little bit longer. How long, we don't know. But God healed him and brought him out. And he got down. How low was your heartbeat? Under 25 rate of your heart. Now, you're right close to death when your heart just beating 25 times a minute. But God brought him out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then my grandson is sitting at the piano. He's had a lot of problems. Oh, now look at him now. Worshiping God, playing his piano, singing for the glory of God. And then he's got his brother right over there with him that can, oh, you don't think he can preach? He wouldn't be going with me over Panama if he was, couldn't. I take him over and let him preach. Young people love him over there. Oh, yeah. I said, I don't understand it, Derek. Here, I can get up and preach. I get a little bit of response from the girls. But I said, you get up to preach. Boy, they're backing you. Oh, they're backing you. Well, maybe the age does. But anyhow, what I'm telling you, we're serving a God that's real. How many needs God to do something in your home right now? You want God to do something in your home. You've got a need in your home or in your personal life. And it's not just physical. Shirley can remember one time I was supposed to go preach a meeting. And I told this people that I would pay them the $1,000 I owed before I left. The day before I was supposed to leave, I didn't have the $1,000. I might have had 40 or 50. I didn't have the 1,000. So I was praying about it in my bedroom, and I just kind of went off to sleep. I hardly ever sleep much in the daytime. Kind of dozed off to sleep, and I woke up to the phone ringing. A man said, come in, I need to talk to you at a certain restaurant here. So I went in, and don't fall out with me for drinking iced tea, but sat down and drank a glass of iced tea with him. And thought maybe he had problems in his home. He didn't say nothing about it. Pretty soon he said, I've got to go. Been nice talking to you, Brother Rich. Lord told me to leave this with you, and laid something on the table and walked out. It was 10 big ones. 10 big ones. Are you afraid to trust God? Say, the future's so uncertain. It may be uncertain with you, but it's not uncertain with God. Because God can declare the end from the beginning. He knows how your situation is going to end up. And if you'll put your trust in God, you can have an expected end. Hallelujah. Stand with me, please, all over the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There may be someone here, you're not saved. You'd lift your hand and say, Brother Rich, I'm not a Christian, but please remember me tonight in your prayers. Raise that hand quickly. Anyone, anywhere, should have someone saved here tonight. You'd lift your hand and say, Preacher, I need to find Jesus as my Savior. Raise that hand quickly. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, somebody's missing your opportunity. Lift your hand and say, Preacher man, I need to find peace. I need to find joy. I need to find satisfaction. It can only be found in the Lord Jesus. All right. How many need to be sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire? I see your hands. Should be several hands. Yes. 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 Several hands going up. Are the others? You need to be sanctified and filled with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. All right. As they sing, start making your way into the altar, and others can come with them. And if you have a need that's private or personal, come on and lay it on the altar for the Lord. I know we can't all get around the altar here, but as many as we can, come on. And those that need the Holy Ghost, you come on right now. In the name of Jesus, come on. Right now, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Oh, yes, Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is hope.
Come on, come on, let's seek God.
And Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
In his holy presence, there is power in him.
Oh, let's worship him. Come on, let's praise him. You can't kneel. At least you can pray at your seat there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lay your problems, your burdens on the altar tonight. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, seek his face.
A mother barely 20, out there on her own. A teenage boy in prison before he's even grown. The illness of a loved one, the widow no one calls. But there is one solution, there's an answer for it all.
Face, seek his face.
There is power.
Ask and you shall receive.
His name.
Ask and you shall receive.
In the name of Jesus, there is hope, there is strength, and victory to claim. There is healing.
Hallelujah. Victory, victory, victory. Oh. Hallelujah. Call on him. Call on him tonight. Call on him tonight. Let him fill you with power. Power in the name of Jesus.
Oh.